Michigan's Upper Peninsula is my home and Escanaba is my hometown. I'm Craig Warple. Hometown Escanaba connects with the people, activities, and newsmakers of Escanaba and the UP. Join us for more interviews at hometownescanaba.com. Now let's find out what's going on. Joining us is Escanaba School Superintendent Kobe Fletcher. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Good morning.
You are going to be renovating the bleachers. Those are the still wooden ones over at the junior, senior high school, or have they been updated since I went to school there?
No, they're still the wooden ones. You know, they're obviously in need of a little bit of attention because they're original to that building. So motors, arms, rollers, some of the wood, things like that need a little work. We priced out fully replacing them, and to just put entirely new bleachers in has gotten ridiculously expensive. I mean, we'd probably be upwards of $500,000 at least.
That's a lot of bleachers there.
Yeah, well, it is. And that's just, you know, maybe it's just me, right? But if I had a choice between those nice wooden bleachers and these new composite plastic mm-hmm. ones, I'd stick with wood, right?
Okay.
Just like I'd stick with grass on a football field. But, you know, in this case, we had a company come in and take a look at things. And we're going to be able to do quite a bit of work in there, not just replacing the motors and the arms and the rollers, some of the electrical, because we want to keep that nice new floor that the fan club put in safe and, you know, free from any scuffing and scratching. But we also asked them to look at how we might make the bleachers a little bit more ADA compliant. So, for example, if you see when the bleachers are fully out, we don't have room for people who may be in wheelchairs or who aren't mobile enough to go up the steps. There's just really no space for them. And so they kind of get shoved into a corner where they can't really see anything going on. So we're going to be able to cut back a certain portion of those bleachers and open up space for people who might be in wheelchairs or who might, you know, might have walkers or who just simply might not be able to go up the bleachers. We're also going to widen the aisles in the bleachers, and we're going to put self-storing rails in there as well. And then we're going to put an additional lower first step onto the bleachers.
How do you put a rail on the bleachers if you got to cut in at certain points?
So if you were looking at the bleachers from the front, right, if mm-hmm. you were facing the bleachers and they're fully out, we've got three aisles that go from bottom to top.
Okay.
Okay. And what you have to do is widen those aisles.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut at the end of each of the existing rows of seats.
So it goes down the middle then?
Well, it's going to go down the middle, just the three aisles, right? But the rails are self-storing, right? So what that means is you don't have one constant rail going up. Each step in the aisle will have its own set of rails.
Okay.
So they're not connected to each other. They're just rails there that you grab as you go up so that when the bleachers go in, those rails actually fold in with the bleachers.
All this renovation will continue to use the same wood then mm-hmm. that's there now.
Yeah.
So when you add another step mm-hmm. going up to that first step,
yep.
which is a big step.
It is a big step. It's going to be a smaller step now, but it's a big step. Yeah, we'll be adding wood.
Because that step is normally where you sit.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So we're going to put a step where you actually legitimately step
okay.
to get to where you sit. But yeah, we'll be using matching wood for that. So there are other areas of the wood that we want to replace as well, and we'll be using matching wood for that too. And then we'll also purchase some extra boards, you know, in case we have any additional pieces of wood that need to be replaced. At the end of the day, it's I think, going to look pretty nice. And it's just me, right, as an old superintendent who likes this stuff, kind of keep the character of those bleachers and that wood that's been in there for quite some time. Just kind of like that.
No, it'd be nice. And, of course, the sound, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a game raucous and going, you know, the sound of people pounding on the wood bleachers.
It's a little bit different.
Is going to certainly be different. Yeah, absolutely. When will this project start?
So we're starting it. Actually, we bid it out, got the bids approved at our February 12th meeting, and we plan on starting in April and finishing in early May before graduation.
After the basketball season.
After the basketball season, yeah. We don't want to get a, you know, we did it to minimize any impact on mm-hmm. anything that we normally have going on in those gyms. So
the importance of having those bleachers be in good shape, of course, is safety as well, right?
Well, right. I mean, there's safety as well. And there's just the fact that, you know, I mean, they're older. The mechanical parts are older. Safety plays a role. But, you know, when those bleachers go out, they have to go out as one unit, right? You can't have one side going out a little faster than the other side, which happens when those arms and those motors and all of the internals get old. I mean, that's where you get scuffing on the floor or things like that happening. So, you know, obviously safety, ADA compliance, making more room for people, but also having bleachers that are in good mechanical shape so that we maintain the facility we got in there.
For some reason, I do not remember the motors on the bleachers. Did there, at some point, did we always pull them?
No.
Always been motorized?
Yeah, they've always been motorized.
Okay, for some reason, I remember pulling them.
Well, you might have pulled them when the motors didn't work.
I don't know.
That could have happened.
I might have been through my entire year of high school.
I don't know. You might have been pulling them when you weren't supposed to, Craig.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a new principal over at the, you do it for both the junior and the senior high, the principals for the same?
Correct. It's a combined campus, so mm-hmm. We have one principal that's over that building. The current principal, Darcy Stenfors, is retiring at the end of the year. So we started a principal search early, you know, to make sure that we could get the best candidate pool possible. We're looking to have Andy Dutrie, who was approved by the board last night, in place for the 24-25 school year.
Tell us about him.
Well, so Andy is currently working in Gladstone. He teaches some science, and then he also helps run the student services area at the Gladstone Middle School. And we interviewed three candidates ultimately, and it was a tough decision, right? I mean, we had in particular a couple of viable candidates that we were looking very closely at, and you know, at the end of the day, you're looking for the right fit, you're looking for the person that you think is going to provide the right leadership style that you need at this point in time at the school. And Annie was the person.
What kind of leadership style are you looking for?
Well, you know, for a high school, having been a high school principal, right, and having worked at the secondary level for most of my career, and then seeing it now from the perspective of a superintendent too, that's a demanding job for a variety of reasons. You know, you have the simple demands of time, right? A good active high school always, junior high, senior high, I should say, always has something going on. I mean, there's literally just always something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in addition to the work that you do during the school day. So there are demands in that regard. Then you have the things that a high school principal does that a lot of people just don't notice, right? I mean, you have to, that high school has to continue functioning smoothly. And a ton of things have to happen to make sure that the high school functions smoothly. It could be things as you know, things we take for granted, right? Like scheduling kids into classes, making sure that your staff are equally and evenly allocated, budget is huge. Managing just occasional emergencies or things like that might arise, keeping your facility in good shape. And then some of the other day-to-day things that, you know, people might see a little bit more of, right? You know, just working with students and working with staff. I think we have a couple of kind of unique demands at the junior high, senior high here. So, for example, our scholarship program requires a ton of work on the part of the principal. This part of the year, for example, is very busy, not just because of that, but because you've also got state testing going on. We offer a slew of AP classes at the junior high, senior high, and so you have all of the AP testing that has to be scheduled and take place, and you're rolling into graduation season. You know, that's just very demanding for a high school principal. So you have to have somebody who can handle those things, who can work with people, but who can also provide the firmness and direction that you need in order to make sure that those things are pulled off well. And so, you know, that just takes a unique personality. You've got to be able to do the things you know need to get done, deal with the criticism that comes with making those important decisions, and ultimately make sure that you end the year having successfully taken a campus through from beginning to end. It's just a lot, right? So there's just a particular leadership style, I think, and I may not have described it very well, but that you need in order to do that type of work. I think, you know, unless you've been there, done it, observed it, people just don't know how much it takes to do that job well.
And I'm assuming from your position then, too, is those people are kind of like your right-hand people.
So yeah,
those are the different school buildings.
Those are the folks that report directly to me, mm-hmm. right? And so I have a vested interest in making sure that everything runs smoothly in those buildings too, right? But, you know, also as a superintendent, one of the things that I want to do is make sure that we develop that entire leadership team as well, because we all work very closely together. Whether it's me working with the principals or whether it's the principals working together to make sure that students are able to go smoothly from one campus to another.
At last night's school board, you also had some presentations from some students. One of them was the music program at Lemmer.
Yeah. So, well, we had multiple kids who were doing things from Lemmer. They run kind of an interesting program in their first grade where one of the classrooms decided, this kind of aligns with our leader and me focus, that they were going to do things to provide sort of a pick-me-up that people, you know, to people who might need it as they're going throughout the school day. So they decided they were going to kind of open a little coffee, tea, hot chocolate thing in the classroom and have the students act as baristas. And if somebody just needed a little something, they could go into that classroom and they
this
could
is at the elementary school?
At Lemmer, yeah. It was really neat. So they were there.
So how was the hot chocolate?
The hot chocolate was great. I had some, but they provided hot chocolate or coffee or tea to the board. And so it was really kind of neat to see that. And then,
You're starting entrepreneurs right away, right?
Well, you know what? They're pretty darn good at it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then Lauren Watson had a group of students who came up and also performed a couple of songs, one of which was the school song. You know, you don't hear the lyrics to school songs very much anymore.
Is this the Eskimo one or the Lemmer one?
No, the Eskimo one.
Okay.
And they belted it out. I think that may have been the best
I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they did a great job. So they sang a couple of pieces as well for the folks that were assembled there. It was a very packed board meeting. You know, it's a good reason to pack a board meeting, right? When you have kids who are doing things.
Absolutely. Robotics then also had a presentation. Was this the high school robotics?
No, this was the upper elementary school robotics.
Which has come to an end, right? Their season is over?
I think they have.
They start in the fall.
I think they have another meet that's going to take place in April sometime
that
they're going to, an in-person meet. A couple of years ago, one of the staff members, Lisa Boucher, approached me about starting a robotics program at the upper elementary because it provided a really nice segue mm-hmm. into things that are going on at the junior high, senior high. And, you know, we were happy to support that. And she and her students have really taken it and run with it. So they were there to present to the board on all of the different things that goes into their competition. And what they do with the robotics, it's a very, how would I describe it? The way the program is designed, it covers all the bases really from developing an initial scope, an initial plan. They actually have to take notes and submit them on the plans that they're developing to accomplish the task that they have to do. So they're evaluated as a team from the very beginning of starting their planning, writing it down. They have to keep an engineering journal. And then all the way through to actually programming the robot to do the tasks that they're supposed to do to evaluating it afterwards. So I think they do a really good job of mimicking what these students would do if they were actually working in a professional sphere doing mm-hmm. that type of work. It's not just, okay, here's the task, let's see how well the robots do. It's here's the task and let's see how well you do from the very start all the way through to the evaluation at the end. It was impressive, actually.
I've always been impressed with the robotics program, the older ones, because I know that they're a little bit smaller scale and the younger ones. Working with the media crew now from the high school robotics teams, the Robomos. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, but they're going to be putting on their own radio program here at the station. So we did a training already where they kind of practiced interviewing each other.
Very nice.
We got a commercial put together for them to promote it. So on Wednesdays after 7 o'clock news, they're going to have 25 minutes for 10 weeks.
Wow. All
right. Where they'll be able to interview each other, talk about their competitions and stuff. So
very good.
When you talk about just the robotics portion of it, there's also other parts of working as a team, and that's the promotional part of it as well. So mm-hmm. that I'm looking forward to doing more with that. Anything else we want to talk about here this morning?
Well, you know, I think we're just plugging along, right? This is the time of year that you do that. Although, you know, that being said, we haven't had too much of a winter, Craig.
That's true.
So good thing
you don't have a ski team.
I don't know. I don't. That there's got to be a way you can ski on just bare grass.
I don't think so.
But I don't know what it is.
Kobe Fletcher is school superintendent of the Escanaba Schools. Appreciate your time with us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you for listening. A special thanks to our sponsor, SwedishPimple.com. Check out all of the fishing lures made right here in the Upper Peninsula at SwedishPimple.com. You can continue to follow us at HometownEscanaba.com. We connect with the people, activities, and newsmakers from Escanaba and Michigan's Upper Peninsula.